So I've quit going there. Not like they have any fucking.
Where do you go for like game stats and whatnot? Like if you want to like, cause like when we do this part, the game recap, I like to look at the.
Yeah, well, I go to NFL.com. You're right. Yeah. No. You're right.
Damn it.
But I haven't done it in, you know, 9 months, so.
Right. Well, it used to be that you they have an axe that you can close out the video, so you don't have to listen or watch it. But I went to close it out, and all it did was reload the next video.
Right. I know. It doesn't.
Like, oh, you don't want to watch this one? How about this one?
Right. You have to watch an ad.
Mm-hmm. Just to get stats on a game.
Right. Right.
I'm going to start keeping my own stats. Like I used to back in high school.
Bullshit.
No, you're not.
No, I won't. But a friend of mine, he will.
No, he won't.
Nope, he sure won't. But you can imagine what it'd be like if he did.
Great, grand, wonderful. Everyone on the podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a 0. I did have a beer after work, but it's worn off way by now. Anyway, the Saints lost to the Steelers, making some fans feel less than confident about what the regular season will hold. Injuries continue to affect the roster, forcing the Saints to look around for additional help, some of that later. And the pass rush continues to be a problem, going on, what, 5 years now? 6 years?
10 years?
I was giving Will Smith the benefit of that when he was here. Anyway, there are some silver linings, though, that were, you know, Willie Sneed. Willie Sneed.
Willie Sneed. All right, we mentioned him. Right.
Okay. That one rose still looks good.
All right, there you go. Anyway, put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Well, Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm going to go with a 1. Got my standard glass of wine with dinner, and now I'm drinking a whiskey.
Ooh, kind of whiskey.
Buffalo Trace. I guess technically bourbon.
Aha. Buffalo Soldier.
So, but I'm just a 1. I'm not...
All right, there you go.
Dana. But I got something because again, it's kind of the as well, you gotta do it.
So you right. We've now become the podcast of sober people with one drunk guy.
Well, not dry. I haven't been drunk on an episode yet. Just
well, this is just upon us. So
let's try to hold off as long as possible. Well, but eventually, it's going to come, and the listeners are going to hate me for it.
It's going to be a memorable episode. And Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Thank you. Like you, 0.
What'd you call me?
Fucking losers.
We're zeros. Anyway, I guess we will go into the game recap. And yeah, the Saints did lose to Pittsburgh 27-14. You want to start with the defense this time, since we started with the offense last week?
They were the defense?
Well, they did let up 27 points, which...
Well, I'm not worried about the 13 points they gave up after...
I was going to say.
Pittsburgh right. pulled their starters. I mean, you know, the ugly thing is when Pittsburgh starters were in there...
They let up 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, they... Boop, boop, boop. I mean, holy shit, fellas.
I mean, at least the first drive, we made them work a little bit. It was like a 14-play drive. But then the second was just, you know, that big play, and that's kind of what we're going to see with these young defensive backs. You're going to have plays.
But don't forget, Pittsburgh's got a good offense. I mean, they've got... Granted, so does a lot of the teams we're going to play this year, and that's what makes you nervous. Didn't Pittsburgh even do kind of a fast-paced...
Yeah, they did go. They did go no huddle. Roethlisberger was in the shotgun a lot, playing multiple receivers, and they were. But they struggled mightily the last game, so they were out to prove something.
We've been struggling. We're out to prove something.
And yeah, we can't.
But what worries me about that type of offense, isn't that similar to what Carolina is going to do to us? A fat pace, no hunt.
I don't know why you would... How would you even know that? I think that's just a statement that you're reaching, hoping that it might be true, but I don't know that it's true.
Because they ran a lot of offensive plays last year?
A lot of teams are going to do this.
Okay.
It's not just fucking Carolina.
Well, we play Carolina twice.
We also play Tampa twice.
Play
Atlanta twice, but they look just as bad as we do.
Right. So I'm talking about these two particular games with Carolina.
I mean, whatever. I don't care.
One third of our division games.
I don't care just about Carolina. I care about everybody. The defense, if for all the...
And me making that statement doesn't mean that I don't care about... Just because you say one thing about one thing, it doesn't mean you dismiss anything else.
Well, I'm just saying, like is Carolina known for being a quick offense like that? I don't know. I don't follow them.
Thank you, Damon.
Yes. Maybe you don't watch the NFL, and that's fine, you know. Just watch games.
I watch two Carolina games a year.
You know, well, that's fine. I mean, but Jeff is saying a fact, and you,
okay.
And as usual, you get all defensive about it. You know,
Yes,
Carolina runs a quick pace offense with their idiot quarterback, in my opinion, to try to hide his deficiencies. You know, but
and our defense responding as lackluster as they did to that makes me nervous about those two games.
Well, look, trying to keep positive here. Jeff, we have Willie Sneed. But obviously last year, or in the last couple of years with Rob Ryan, again, with all the, no one knew where the fuck they should be, apparently, that'll change with Dennis Allen. And now look, we haven't schemed anyone.
True.
And we won't until 2 weeks from Sunday, until we play the Raiders. So that has to show maybe not 100% improvement in the defense, but it'll show something, right? If you scheme for someone, you know, it'll have to show something.
I mean, they didn't game plan at all for a quick offense like they saw for the first drive.
Scheme anything, you know,
right.
I mean.
Right.
Just see what guys did. Well, Von Bell did second week in a row, leads the team in tackles. You like him, Von Bell?
And Willie Sneed.
Right.
Willie Sneed did lead in receptions. And the most yards, 58 yards. And the most receiving touchdowns, tied.
But, you know, but should your, I don't know, should your safety be leading in tackles?
No.
You know, and then he far down the field, you know, like, you know, I mean, that's the way I look at it, you know, like if a lineman or a linebacker should be leading your team, you know, linebacker, that's defensive line takes care of the offensive line. And then the linebacker should be out there wrapping shit up.
Well, the Lomardi kid, he had four tackles as well.
So. He did. I like him. I really do. Not just because his dad used to play for us also, but he's showing some heart.
Yeah. What'd you guys think of Crawley, since he's been a kind of a preseason story?
Yeah, like Willie Sneed, you know, he's a positive. He's
Well, was he? Who gave up? Did he give up the touchdown to Brown, the long touchdown?
I mean, if it's Antonio Brown, does it?
Well, look, I know. I thought that
was PJ Williams.
Or was it PJ?
It was PJ Williams.
Right. But PJ Williams had good coverage on him.
Yeah.
You know, look, that's going to happen.
He didn't turn around.
He's
for
young.
The ball.
He's young.
He is.
You know, look, I wish he could have snagged it out the air and returned it. Okay, but that's not going to happen all the time. But we're talking about Crawley. These young cornerbacks are going to be tested by NFL veterans every week. You know, that's what they're going to be targeted.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Now, hopefully they can, in the first couple of games, they are raw and young.
They'll learn.
And they'll learn.
Unlike Patrick Robinson and Corey White, they will learn.
They never learned.
Right. And look how long we gave them a shot to learn. So get used to PJ Williams and Crawley. What's Crawley's first name, Kevin?
Ken. Yeah.
Ken Crawley.
So, yeah, look, there will be growing pains with these guys. They'll make some good plays. They're going to get burned. It's just something we're going to have to live with.
All right.
Since that's the direction we appear to be going.
Yeah. All right. Pass rush, which we'll get into a little bit of that in headlines. But
there was none.
Any concern?
There wasn't much, but, I mean, Roethlisberger did also get rid of the ball very quickly. But still, yeah, I mean, we didn't get anything. It's, you know, a little, obviously it's concerning.
Right.
I
mean,
I don't know how you manufacture a pass rush, you know. Either you have it or you don't.
Blitz?
Well, but, you know, look, God.
Hashtag Greg Williams.
Right. I mean, he used to do that all the time.
He knew what to do. He's the only defensive coordinator who realized what the hell Bill Johnson was putting on the field and was like, we can't.
Well, there's a lot of times, look, that we, you know, over the last 6-7 years that we've, you know, done blitzes and it still just hasn't gotten to the quarterback.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you have to have a guy. You said Will Smith, you know, Will Smith knew how to get to the quarterback.
I mean, we have Cam Jordan.
Yeah.
Did they not play him too much, or?
No, I mean, he played.
Was he just ineffective?
He was just, I guess, ineffective. He played just as much as the other guys.
Well, again, I think that's what a couple of weeks ago, must have been months ago, we had said about Cam Jordan, what he got. Yeah, I know he had double-digit sacks last year.
I don't see that he had any stats against the Pittsburgh Steelers this preseason game.
Look, he didn't do. The defensive line didn't do much of anything, at least not when Roethlisberger was in there. You know, you could say, yes, Pittsburgh's a good offense, but
you got
still like to see something, and you didn't. So, yeah, you know, we weren't too worried about it going into this game, but coming out of the game, you know, like, is it going to be a case of the same old shit that, you know, we see every year? Hopefully it isn't, but that's just one of the many concerns on this team right now.
Okay.
Yeah, he had 10 sacks last season. And that's saying something when there was nobody else on the defensive line doing
anything,
fucking anything to, you know, to have an offensive coordinator try to plan against. So God knows how many double teams the son of a bitch is getting, you know?
Yeah.
And he still had 10 sacks. That's nice. That's impressive, you know? Still getting double digit sacks.
Yeah, he may be saving it for the regular season right now. That's fine. All right, let's move to the offense then.
It just it looked like they had to work so hard to just get 5 yards. Everything seemed to be a struggle.
Is that a testament to Pittsburgh's defense? Or not really scheming or running anything other than standard run up the middle, run on the side? Pass over here.
It's a little bit of that, but mostly just our line stinks. And that's all there is to say about it.
But, see, all right, so I paused and rewound and slow-mo'd a couple of certain plays that looked like, you know, we ran the ball, say, you know, on the outside, on the right side, because I was looking to see, you know, Zach Strieff get blown up. He did good. Everybody got their blocks on the. It's just that Pittsburgh brought in enough guys. And on this one particular play that I was looking at, it was Unger who was supposed to shed his block and go up and catch the linebacker before the linebacker made a play on the ball. And he just didn't get there in time. I don't think that's them sucking. That's just Pittsburgh's linebacker read the play and got a step on him. I mean, and it was a couple of different plays like that that I would kind of pause and look at. And the line did their job. It's just that Pittsburgh had an answer.
No.
No. You get paid to watch film.
Yeah, it's no. It's not. It's not that they played. You know, they didn't. They didn't play the 85 Bears. Okay.
Okay.
The offensive line is struggling. Zach Strieff did an interview on NewOrleansSaints.com, and he's just very. You know, very honest about that they're not getting it done. And that something needs to change. And obviously, and we'll talk about it a little later, you know, that shows that we went out and got an offensive lineman.
Yeah, from the Raiders.
You know. Mm-hmm. a 34-year-old. I mean, that's that, you know. And then
I guess Armstead Dallas wanted too much for Leary.
Right. Armstead walked out again with
the injury, yeah.
Right. Now, they say it's not serious, but
they said that about Keenan Lewis.
Right.
Right. I mean, look, he hasn't been fully healthy at all this offseason, this season. So that's extremely concerning.
All what?
All season, offseason. Basically, ever since the end of
all season, offseason?
Season and offseason. I didn't add the and in there.
And kind of paused. That brought to you by Tony Sashrees.
And then today they're talking about Peyton's like, oh, well, maybe we'll move Pete to left guard. Like, oh, great. Another position. Hey, fuck.
He's going to be an all-around jack of all trades.
Now, he did play on the left side in college, so maybe he'll be better at left guard than at right guard. But, man, you just keep jerking this kid around. It's just not doing him any favors. I mean,
maybe it is, because if not, he'd be cut.
Maybe. I mean, he's just
maybe it is doing him a favor. Man, you suck over here.
That word bust is starting to creep in. It's still early for that. But
let's try you over here. Maybe
he's got to start doing something.
Click with you.
He's not the only one causing. I mean, they're all whiffing on blocks. Even a guy like Unger, who's good, he's whiffing on blocks. They're getting in position. They're just missing.
Who's the O-line coach?
It's a new guy. I don't know. I mean,
from last year? Is that a different guy from last year?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
They got rid of Brett Ingles. Like, fuck, can we call back Aaron Cromer?
Where is Cromer? Wasn't he? He was available this offseason.
He was with the Bears, and he had those off-the-field issues on the beach with his son and beating somebody up. So I don't think he's with any team.
That was a couple of years ago that he was whipping people's ass at the beach.
It might have been 2 years ago. I don't think he's anywhere else right now, though.
Well, we can do this thing.
Yeah, I know.
We should
bring him back and give Carl Nix a call, too.
Carl Nix.
Hey, I'm going to stay on that Carl Nix
track. You're going to sign Khalif.
Well,
wait, if we're going to sign that old asshole, then
Carl Nix hasn't played. Carl Nix hasn't played in years.
I know. But his infection's got to be gone. He's got to still be decent, right?
If you haven't played in a few years, you're not in football shape anymore.
He is the offensive line coach for the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
Let's watch them this year. See what
they probably have talent.
But he is back to being the offensive line coach. You know, same thing he was with us from 2009 to 2012. So I wouldn't mind him. You know, I wish we'd have brought him back.
Yeah. But let's talk about some good things about the game. Willie
Snead.
Hell of a catch by Willie Snead right there.
Right. Holding on to that ball.
Hell of a catch.
And let's see.
Tommy Lee Lewis probably made the team.
Yeah.
That was a nice touchdown he had.
Mm-hmm. How about that? Your receivers are probably going to win. Brandon Cooks, Willie Snead.
Michael Thomas.
Mike Thomas.
Tommy Lee Lewis, and then maybe, does Brandon Coleman make it? Would he be the fifth? Or maybe R.J. Harris.
All right, Coleman might make it just by. Remember, we used to not have enough room. Now we're kind of like, who wants to be number five?
Although they usually don't dress out the fifth receiver.
Yeah. So
four. So Cooks.
Snead.
Thomas.
Lewis.
Lewis could be your fourth.
Really? Ugh.
Well, I mean, what has Coleman done? Really? Nice reaction.
I mean, fuck. Well, at least we have three. I mean, that's, you know, good enough.
Hey, man, don't discount old Tommy Lee. He had a great touchdown this week. And he's fast.
The Fleener is your tight end.
Right.
Flanders. What?
Flanders.
What? What is it?
Game's out there. Made you look.
My goodness, how the mighty have fallen.
When we get news of Haman Anui's injury, that didn't look good. And he's a blocking tight end. He's the guy who's supposed to help the offensive line, and now we lost
him. That's part of the whole injuries continue to affect the performance of this team. I mean, what is the deal. Now
we're paying the sins for sacrificing our souls to win a Super Bowl, and you know what? It was all worth it.
What about turnovers? Again, Cadet fumbled, Lasko fumbled.
Well, Lasko got knocked the fuck out.
Right.
Yeah.
It's hard to blame him for that.
Grayson threw two picks, which, I mean, you know, great. Like the point you made last week, Grayson's not throwing the ball during the regular season, so.
Yeah, we did get a takeaway, but still, we had a couple of giveaways, and that's been a consistent theme these three games. That's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Giving the ball away, not taking it. No pass rush, not being able to block anyone on the offensive.
Sounds like last year.
Sounds like the last 4 years.
Yeah.
I remember a certain press conference Sean Payton said, "We're not doing this anymore."
Well, you kind of still are.
I mean, what is the deal? I don't want to have this conversation. We haven't even kicked off the season. We need to stop acting like preseason is a regular season game. We need to look at individual player performances. It's not about what the team did.
Well, in 2 weeks, we might be talking about the same thing.
Well, we can wait 2 weeks for it, but we're not going to do this. We can't, right? We can't.
Technically, I mean, this is still the time.
It's hard to pull out an individual player performance that's worth talking about when you only have 78 yards passing by your starters.
At least they did, and, you know, Breeze's last series ended on a touchdown, so maybe that's good. Yay.
There you go. All right. Now you're getting somewhere.
Preseason is supposed to be the time for optimism.
Making it hard to find it.
They haven't given us much to enjoy so far.
Well, hold on. We're seeing... you just said, oh, it's supposed to be the time for optimism, blah, blah, blah. But we just said it. But we're still seeing the same fucking mistakes. So what makes me think that in 2 weeks, or a little over 2 weeks, against the Raiders, that we're going to stop seeing those mistakes and those deficiencies?
It's the same thing we've watched for 16 games last year.
Right. I mean, they've shown me nothing that anything should be different.
No, right. It's not like this is a switch they're just going to turn on and
right.
They're just not going
to
do that.
Right. So you say this should be the time for optimism. Yeah, but you have to give me a little something.
Well,
yeah, Willie Snead.
Willie Snead. Okay, but he was there last year also. You know, he wasn't blocking on the offensive line.
No.
So, Dennis Allen's defense will be in place more than
Rob Ryan's.
But
I guarantee you that what you're seeing is it's going to take the offense at least a quarter and a half to get going. We're going to be just like it has last year. It's that slow start. And if we're not winning late in the fourth quarter, it's, you know, remember, again, go back to when we were amazing. It was, we always knew that if we got a minute or 30 seconds left and a half or the end of the game, we got another touchdown coming.
Right.
Now, no. And it almost seems like we don't have enough legitimate starters on our team. We have a bunch of guys who, I mean, I hate to say it because it was one of the things we love about Sean Payton is being able to find it, but we've got a bunch of undrafted free agents playing in the NFL.
Well, we have decent starters in some positions, but in the most important position relating to the offense, the offensive line, that's where we don't have it. I mean, look, the line made every, as good as Breeze is, the line has made everything go from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it always does. Look, I mean, the old saying, you know, you win the game in the trenches. I mean, that's the truth.
And we've had some damn good offensive lines.
My God, we were spoiled with Carl Nix
and Gary Evans.
Yep. Best guard tandem, you know. And then even at center, you know, we had Goody.
Jeff Fain, then you let him go. You brought in Goodwin. You didn't miss a beat because you had the two guards.
Right. The two guards helped everybody, you know, both people on the side of them, you know.
And even helped
Bushrod, who
was
not a great tackle.
No, Stinchcomb, too.
Right, and Stinchcomb, we really lost a lot when we lost Stinchcomb. You know, because, and I've said this before, man, that all with the two guards, Fain or Goodwin, you know, And then Stinchcomb with Zach Streif. Remember, he was the all-around guy. You know, he's the one who...
He was a tackle eligible.
Right, he was a tackle eligible, or if someone got hurt for a couple of games, he could come in, you know. But you didn't depend on him every snap.
Never the starter. And then you never, when we cut Stinchcomb and just plugged Streif in, you never got a replacement. You never got a replacement for Streif's, you know, the backup spot.
Right.
But Streif held on to that job.
Somehow, some way. I don't know how.
For the long time. He's been the only guy who's been the most consistent thing that we've had since then.
When did Stinchcomb get cut? 12?
I was thinking after 2010, maybe. So maybe like before 11? If only somebody could look that up.
I don't know. I mean,
either way, I mean, but you're also not going to strike it rich every time you swing, you dig a hole.
No, you're not.
So the fact that we've been able to replace guys and get another great guy in that place that for that long is nice, but this is bound to catch up with you. It's bound to happen, and we're just kind of and a lot of this right now is injuries too. With Armstead, we always seem to have an injury on our line the last year or two.
I mean, that's the thing that's really got to be worrying. If let's hope to God this Armstead injury isn't major, because if it is, I mean, we are fucked. We are just straight up fucked without him. So well, Stinchcomb got cut at the end of after
2010. Yeah, after
training camp of 2011.
14-15. This will be 6 years.
Streif, it's been a gradual just decline. I mean, 11 we were still good, but you still had Evans and Nix at their peaks. And then Nix left after 11. Never replaced him.
Right.
All right, let's move into headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
First headline, I was going to talk about Armstead, so I think we just kind of beat that dead horse.
He's not dead, he's still young.
But he is injured, and we don't know the extent of it.
And there's no need speculating, because Sean Payton doesn't, you know.
Right.
But he doesn't say anything. Ooh.
In the meantime, what's the rumor on McCain from the Dolphins? Chris McCain?
Oh, it's not a rumor. We
traded a seventh round for him.
A conditional seventh round pick.
What happened? Okay, I didn't check since.
He's a defensive end from Miami, undrafted. So looking to add a little competition to the
another undrafted
pass rush.
He's
only got two career sacks.
We're gonna add to the pass rush with an undrafted.
Well, he has seven. He has seven total tackles,
two sacks,
and one forced fumble in 18 games over 2 years. So,
all right.
But I guess, you know, Dan Campbell obviously knows him. I'm sure that's who tipped us off to him. But it sounded like he was gonna get cut anyway from Miami. Why bother trading?
Well, I mean, if it's only a seventh, and that way
it is conditional.
You're not competing against anyone else, you know, for his services.
Yeah.
And look, a seventh round draft, a conditional seventh is the bare minimum.
It is. Supposedly, Dolphins fans aren't too happy with it. They kind of like the guy, so I don't know. Maybe it's a good sign, but who knows?
Okay. Right. Well, then you got Khalif Barnes from the Raiders. We mentioned him earlier. Being signed.
Signed him. I didn't realize how old he was.
Yeah, 34.
Oof, yeah.
I mean, I don't know anything about the guy.
He's played tackle and guard. He's been with Oakland for a while.
About 6 years.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, maybe he's better than the other guards we have. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just depth. Maybe we'll actually try to plug him in and see. I have no idea. Because there was also Jeff Schwartz, another offensive lineman. Detroit released him. He's a veteran guard.
May the force be with you.
I thought of that, too.
So, I mean, at least it's something.
No, it's not. No, it really isn't.
In April, he was arrested for allegedly driving drunk.
Oh, sweet. He'll fit right in New Orleans.
Should have bring him here. There'll be no problem. Right. I can't possibly see him having a problem here. Oh, when the bars don't close.
Shit.
Yeah, well, it's competition, and maybe, you know, when more cuts happen, I'm sure this won't be the only guy they take a look at if they continue to look like ass.
My God.
Yeah, any Saints cuts worth mentioning that you...
The news started trickling out, all these cuts. I'm like, I have never even heard of this dude.
Right, I didn't even know. I don't know. Cyril Lemon?
Yeah.
That's the one guy that I've actually heard of. All these other guys. Like, I don't
Jamal
even know
Golden, Dylan Lee, Jeff Schottenmeyer. Right.
No, nobody...
Jared Dangerfield. I mean, I remember the last name just because of Rodney Dangerfield. Okay. You know? Reggie Bell.
You think when he got cut, he said, I get no
respect. Right. Stone Homer, Chris Highland, and Jimmy Pruitt.
Right.
Who?
And Pruitt got hurt in the last game. That's what got. But nobody of nobody.
If you want to consider Keenan Lewis, you know, but.
Well, that was last week, yeah.
Yeah, but he's still, you know, to get down. So, no.
No, the big cuts will be Saturday. That's when we'll see.
I don't know the big cuts. I mean.
Well, the names that we actually know.
That's where you're going to see your. Marcus Murphy.
Or even, you know, the...
RJ Harris.
Jack Allen. Right. RJ Harris. I mean, whoever. Any guys that we actually know and have actually played a little bit.
Tavares Cadet.
And we'll just have to pay attention to all the cuts from the other teams, because I'm sure there's an offensive line somewhere that I have to think that they're gonna pull. Especially if Barnes comes in. And, I mean, he came out and worked out. They signed him. But if he comes in and he's blah, then they'll keep their eyes open.
I have a suggestion for something we do in the off season. I say we go back and we take the tapes. We watch the game from the 2009 season. Mm-hmm. And we do it week by week, and then we would do a show. You know, in the off season I'm talking about. We have time to kill. Because this fucking sucks, you know. We don't know any of the players being cut. We don't know any of the players being kept. You know, I mean, they're all just so fucking mediocre. It's depressing.
Feels like the early 2000s, doesn't it?
Well, right. And it speaks to Mickey Loomis being a shitty GM lately, and he really needs to be fired. Oh, I mean, it's no ifs, ands, or buts. Problem is, who's his boss? Benson's his boss. Benson ain't firing him. I mean, you know, there's no way he's going to get fired, yet he's made so many bad decisions that has put this team in the position it's in.
Yes. I would love to know, because we've said this before. We've had this discussion. You know, I have no clue. None of us have any clue how the process works of bringing players in. You know, I don't know if Sean Payton walks in there and says, get me so-and-so. Or if Mickey Loomis says, I want so-and-so here, Sean, work with this guy. Now, I don't think that's how it works. You know, I definitely believe Sean Payton has a huge hand in who to get and who not to, you know, who to take and who not to take. But I don't think Sean Payton does anything with, well, pay him, you know.
Money, right.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, that was, I mean, that's, and so again, I have to agree with Jason. I mean, you go back and look at the draft classes again since 2010. Hopefully, the last 2 years will work, you know, this year, 2016 and 15 will work out. But 10, 11, and this is beating a dead horse, because we've talked about it all. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 were horrific. I mean, you might as well have. Let me draft it. I think I couldn't have done much worse. And I don't follow college football that bad much.
The financial situations that we've been in with the dead money and up against the cap, Breeze's contract as well, everything. But like, we would go in. It's almost like we'd go and try to get, and I'm going to use this term for lack of a better word, superstars, and pay this big contract each offseason to at least one player who's going to come in and supposed to, and if you hit, you hit. You know what I mean? It's
no, you're right.
No
you're
risk,
right,
no yeah. reward, right? With the expectation that it's okay that we can fill the roster with a bunch of no names because we had should have good coaching that's going to get the best out of them, so that you get a superstar in this, you know, in the backfield, in the, you know, the secondary, you get a superstar over here, you get a superstar, get four or five superstars on your team, and then everybody else is just plays for the minimum and gets coached up and gets a little better because of who you surround them with. Our problem is that it's a great strategy if you had the 2009 coaching staff, and if you had the if your superstars didn't bust on you,
right? If you hit
over
on them
and over and I mean, over and yeah. over, and that's not necessarily Mickey Loomis doesn't have a crystal ball. You play. That's who's available in the free agency.
But he's made it. He just his decisions have not worked out. I mean, well, Keenan worked out. Keenan was a good signing, at least for 2 years. But every other one's been a bust.
You can't foresee, Keenan's a bad example because you can't foresee the injury.
Right, I'm right.
And right, like right, said, right,
like,
right.
Like the
right.
Keenan contract was a good
fine.
Contract.
Or
it wasn't over
and the pickup,
and,
right.
And he was
right.
a
and
good
even
player.
Picking him up, he played well. You're right. You can him getting injured after he's been here is fine. But with Jarius Bird,
Jr.
Okay, hold on. Stop with Bird. With Bird. Even when we signed him, I didn't know much about him. I didn't know anything, but oh, he's led the league in interceptions, you know, since he got in. And you go back and you look
on Twitter, Buffalo fans were saying, "Good luck if he finishes these."
Right, you're right. but the main selling point to us, you know, with all these interceptions that he made in Buffalo, and I'm gonna throw a number out there. He had 14, okay, in 5 years with Buffalo, but seven of them came his first year. You know, half of them came in 1 year, and he was never able to duplicate that, you know. But not saying that he's a bad safety when healthy, if he's healthy. I don't know. I've never seen him healthy, you know. But, God damn, we made him the highest-paid safety in the NFL.
Right, he's not a $58 million safety.
No.
He's not fucking Ed Reed.
Not with what we've received, you know.
Right. Just right. So many poor...
So, I mean, again, you know, you say Mickey needs to be let go.
But the Bird decision was a bad decision because you knew he was injured before you even paid him.
Right.
And again, yeah. Like,
Gillette, you didn't see that coming.
Now, again, we don't know if, like,
you Gillette said, had everybody hosed.
Does Peyton go in and say, "Hey, I want Bird"? Mickey's like, "All right." You know,
Jimmy
like,
Graham, right, at all
see,
costs.
You didn't see Jimmy Graham coming. Now, you did make the decision to get rid of them.
Well, because you...
Well, but Graham, from what I believe, again, none of us are in the locker room, I think Graham had to be pushed out.
Okay, and that's fine, right. But you don't see that coming when you give the guy the contract. The contract changes the guy. Okay, with Gillette...
Well, he was also Jimmy Graham was also still bitter with the whole tight end
right,
receiver.
Right. Then the contract process changed him.
Yeah, and Junior Gillette was just... Junior Gillette
the contract changed him. Well, he was always an asshole, but he had to play nice until he got his contract.
Right.
Then once he got his money, like a lot of players do in a lot of different teams. That's not a Loomis.
I'm not going to say a lot, but it does happen, yes.
Right, it does happen, but still, Loomis is the one in charge, and we're in this position because we've made awful... Draft
but again,
and
but,
free agent
right.
decisions.
It's the draft. What was it? I mean,
yeah, the draft.
At the beginning, what draft was it?
But that's not a Loomis thing as much as it is.
Well,
the
hold on, stop. No, but there was one draft. What was it? Literally less than 18 months later, nobody on the team.
The 2014 draft, we just had one. Like 2 years later, we just had one player.
Cooks, right? That's Cooks, right?
Yeah. And, you know, look, maybe it's not all Loomis' decision, but you know what? Loomis is the GM. He is the guy in charge.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
You're right.
Yeah, it is his fucking decision. Right. He is the guy in charge.
You are correct.
And he is the cap guru. Well, the cap guru has his $25 million fucking dollars in the hole of dead money.
35 this year, I think, with the Keenan cut. It bumped up.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
So we're $35 million less than every other team going into the. You can't get any talent that way.
Right. That's
again.
Why, that's why we're
so. So we have more debt. We could sign Drew Brees to another fucking. We could sign another Drew Brees with what's dead this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would give.
That's why you don't know any of the players on the roster.
Right, I'd give Drew Brees $65 million. You know, if we had that $35 million, we'd hear Drew here the $35 million
bonus.
You know, for this year and every other year, you know, it's $10 million or whatever the fuck. You know what I'm saying?
The difference was that that was the money that we were never spending that money anyway. That was the money we were spending on the bounties anyway. In 2009, so we never really spent that money.
That is a
That's just stupid. That's
lawnmower joke.
That's not even.
I like that y'all added y'all own lawnmower jokes. I actually cut Damon's before. I'm sure you cut yours too.
All right.
So that's really going forward. That's that's. I think as long as he's in charge, we may never get back to where we were.
Yep.
It's probably time for him to go, but the problem is, in that building, I mean, who's going to fire him?
Yep. All right, we're going to move into look at him tweets. Okay, so the tweets, we got Fuck the Falcons coming in again, basically saying same as last week. Hashtag Leary, hashtag Schwartz.
Yeah, I don't think Khalif Barnes is the answer. The problem is if you're Dallas, Dallas should demand a lot for him, and it's going to take a lot to get Leary.
Yeah.
And if we're desperate enough.
He's not worth a second, because he's not that good. Again, last week I said, look, I'd give him
a third. Worth a third. Yeah, you would have given him reluctant.
I'll give a third, and I still think a third is a high
right
for him. But no, if they won a second, then he'll fuck himself.
Schwartz, I don't know if signing Barnes, does that mean they're not going to possibly sign? Or at least they should at least take a look at Schwartz. At least he's 4 years younger. I mean, God, I really wish Khalif Barnes wasn't 34. If he was 30, I'd feel a little better. But 34 is just,
He's still probably.
But again, you know, Leary or Schwartz, whoever, what we just talked about, there's cap implications. I have no idea what we're even under the cap now.
I'm sure Barnes is minimum, and if he doesn't make the roster, then.
Right, so even bringing these other players
we might have a million or two, maybe.
Or that's not a lot of money.
No, it's not. You're right.
So who the fuck can you bring in for $1 million?
Somebody who gets cut at the final wave of cuts. That's about it.
Right.
Khalif.
Right, Khalif right. Barnes.
All right. Next tweet, we have this one coming from JTL saying, we're going to, instead of putting this in NFL reach around, we'll just take it here. Do you foresee any issues in the stands with fans standing or not for the national anthem? Fights, jeers. Obviously talking about the Colin Kaepernick story where Colin Kaepernick refused to stand for the national anthem because of what he said. He was his way of protesting the social injustices to people of color in this country.
Right. As of right now, we have $970,709 in cap room. Okay.
We ain't signing nobody.
Yeah, right. So we're not signing nobody. Leary can't even come here. But anyway, Jason, I'll let you take this Kaepernick story first.
Wow, okay. Here's my thought. I could give a rat's ass about this whole Kaepernick thing. A, I don't care about Kaepernick as a player, and then B, I don't care what the fuck he thinks about anything. Just don't.
That's very, very. I mean, that's.
I'm sorry. Like, I know it's blowing up everywhere. You know, I don't fucking care about this asshole. You know, he's not on my team. He can sit, stand, he can do whatever the fuck he wants. He's American. I don't care. For it to be such a huge story as it is just it's bullshit.
Kind of what we were talking about last week, how social media, like people who didn't watch football back in the day would never even know
comment on this
right or have a comment about it
right now. It's everywhere,
right? Remember Chris Jackson from LSU, he did the same thing in the mid-90s
when he was Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf,
right? Was that really his name?
Yeah, he changed his name to he was Chris Jackson in college, and then changed his name to Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
I knew it was Muhammad.
So. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
All right, so that's Muhammad. I remember he did it, but you're right. Like I said, it was the early sometime in the 90s. And I remember, you know, seeing it on SportsCenter, wherever the fuck. And I thought, you know, well, fuck him. But that was it. The controversy, at least for us down here at the time without an NBA team, because we did not have the social media, it wasn't that big a deal, you know? And I think even down here, I might have known more because he was
Chris Jackson. Guy. Right,
right. Right. You know, he was there with Stanley Roberts and Shaq, you know, the really good LSU team of the late 80s. Colin Kaepernick is a bum. All right. You're a shitty quarterback. You're about to get cut. And I'm sure he'll use this to say, this is why they cut me, because I'm such a fucking trailblazer. You know, they cut you because you can't read shit.
He's just not a good quarterback.
Much like Jason said, I really don't give a shit about you, but I hate, you know. Look, I've said this before. I don't want to know what the fuck your political stances are. I don't want to know. You're right. I didn't like him. I don't like him any less than I did, you know, two days ago when
right,
it just
exactly,
happened.
Exactly.
The 49er, one of the franchises I fucking hate. I've always said he's a fucking shitty, mediocre quarterback. That, again, just like the Michael Vick.
Too much admiration than he ever deserved.
Right, because he had a little bit of success. And so all the media had to go on. Oh, Kaepernick, woohoo! Why? Because of the color of your skin. You know, because they so much want a black quarterback to succeed in this league. You know, where the great ones like Warren Moon, a great quarterback. One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But he never made his race a center of any of his bullshit.
Steve McNair,
yeah. Another very good quarterback. I won't call him great. Warren Moon was great. Warren Moon could be up there. Could be up there. And he spent a lot of time in the CFL. You know?
Or what's the Redskins? Doug.
Doug Williams was a shitty quarterback. Doug Williams.
Yeah, he was. He had a good season at Tampa, and he had a good season in Washington.
No, he didn't. Jason, that's well, what. He did.
Like
he came in a quarter of a season.
Okay.
Oh, you're right.
Jay Schrader was hit with the quarterback that led Washington, and
you're right.
Schrader got hurt.
Finished the season.
Right. What the fuck? I don't even know his name. Doug Williams. Right. Williams came in. He wondered he was a star. He happened to be the starting fucking quarterback when they won the Super Bowl, and Doug Williams. Woo-hoo-hoo. Washington tried to make him their starter the following season, and he didn't make six games before they benched him. Okay? But his legend has been so blown out because, first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl. No. He happened to be their quarterback.
Well, He
had a good game.
Just like Aaron Brooks happened to be the quarterback when
you know, won the Super Bowl. 2 years later, fucking 2 years later, their quarterback was... Mark Rippon, old pimply face, you know, pot mark face.
He won a Super Bowl too.
You know,
he had that crazy year, and then he was never.
You know, so again, that line. You know, that's when you had the Hogs and the running game.
Dante Culpepper, he was a good quarterback, a black quarterback.
He had some good seasons.
He had some good seasons in Minnesota, you know. But look, after he did it with his legs. After he tore, look, he
after
tore his leg
yeah,
up.
His knees, yeah.
Right, he was done. That was his gimmick, you know. Randall Cunningham,
yeah,
was actually much better once he stopped running the ball. Remember,
well, I mean, he was pretty good running, but he had that season in Minnesota,
right? That 98, 97.
Yeah,
you know,
that crazy season.
He had a. But I'm saying before that, when he was in Philadelphia, he would run the ball. That's what he will. You know, he was the Mike Vick of the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. But he had his best year when he stayed in the pocket and actually threw the fucking ball. So, Kaepernick is the only reason he doesn't belong, his name doesn't belong in any of the people we just talked about. Not Randall.
All those guys.
Definitely. Him and Williams, him and Williams probably belong in the same fucking boat. Because, again, Doug Williams, who went to Grambling, who was a local boy, went to Grambling, you know. Doug Williams' legacy has been blown out of proportion because all you hear is, oh, first Super, you know. But again, you don't know the whole story. He started four fucking games that year. You know, if he'd have started in the regular season, they wouldn't have made the Super Bowl. They wouldn't have won. He wasn't that good a quarterback. And fuck Colin Kaepernick. Hopefully the police will pull him over and beat him.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, just the whole thing is just, it's, you know, so a average quarterback at best does this one thing, and now just and now just everybody fucking cares about it. Like, why do you care what an athlete does?
Go back to Twitter, go back to social media. You said it. You answered your own question at the beginning of the segment.
Right. It's not about Kaepernick. It's not about the issue that he. It's about people needing to overreact to something. Next week, I guarantee, next week, nobody's going to be talking about this. No. It's flavor of the week. It's something that that the Twitterverse and social media needs to be outraged. We as a society need something to be outraged each week over. What is this week's outrage going to be about?
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's the thing. People are all butthurt because he didn't stand for the national anthem.
Well, wait a second. He's showing disrespect to the country. Now, wait. Now, I have an issue with that. I mean, hold on. I do have a problem with that. Stand the fuck up, you scumbag.
All right. Anything left to say about that, Jason?
I started the segment by saying I don't care. So, no.
Still don't care. All right.
Still don't care.
Okay, let's move into NFL Reach Around. Where one quick story, this is really, really just more, not even NFL reach around, let's call it more of a and that is Seattle has cut Brandon Browner before the season has started.
Much like Gillette tearing his ACL, this gave me a smile. You know? And
what's that? I mean, I thought when Browner left that, you know.
Ooh, he's gonna go back to Seattle, head up. Head up! Yeah, you suck. That's why we cut you.
He got cut twice in 2 months.
And yet we still gave that, and we still gave that motherfucker a $15 million contract. Now he didn't get all of it, but still.
That's another one.
That's right. That's another one. Fucking. Ugh.
He's gonna be making himself a little Vine video of him cashing his check too.
Yeah.
So fucking annoying. Yep. Yep. We got some dead money for him. Yeah, just piling on.
But I'm pretty sure. Well, hold on. But that, I mean,
it's not as much as other guys. But he's
But that's not what this segment's talking about. I know.
I just like
We're gloating over the fact that he has been cut. That you know.
Oh yeah, like I'm happy he got cut. Yeah, fuck.
His NFL career is I would say is probably over.
Right. If he can't make it in Seattle, he's not going to make it somewhere else.
Right. Unless someone is as desperate in the defensive backfield as we are on the offensive line, you know, if there's a team out there like that,
yeah,
and maybe they'll try to pick him up. Yeah. Because he, you know, they will say, you know, oh well, it's better than a poke in the eye. A poke in the eye might be better than Brandon Browner. You know.
It was better than a brown eye, I'll tell you that. Poke in the brown eye. Final thoughts, Jason.
I'm just going to say, so Mr. Fuji died today. The old WWF manager, Japanese manager, managed Demolition, managed Yokozuna. Around for a long time, always did the little salt in the eyes bit. Yeah, so he died today. So it's kind of a sad day. One of the all-time great managers in the history of wrestling.
Sure, how old was he?
I think he was 83. So, I mean, he had a long life. But,
Mr. Fuji was at the eye doctor. And the optometrist told him... you have cataracts. He goes, oh, no. I drive a Lincoln Continental.
Oh, my God.
not a cataract. You get it? You get it? Not a cataract.
Get it. All right, Damon, final thought?
Rican Continental.
What kind of laugh is that? What the fuck was that?
It reminds me of the mailman on Funny Farm. All right. Final thought, Damon, what'd you say?
Rican Continental. That's it. I have no final thoughts. Come on, that's hilarious. That's a good joke.
It's a very good joke. That's all. That's all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our royal listeners for doing
that. No, you didn't.
That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, here's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dadgum.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, listener donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Spencer Plumage.